So to them, the wrath of God drop you also. Nah. Lot's wife should never have died. But somehow when Lot and her were running away from the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah, because she had an attachment to Sodom, she turned around, looked, and she was turned in a pillar of salt and died. She should not have died. She was among those that the angel wanted to save. Here, God segregates to understand that wickedness is wickedness. Evil is evil. We must draw a line. So the first hazard, Jehoshaphat. And the next revival that took place was under Joash in chapter 24. Verse 1. Joash was 7 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah of Bathsheba. If you read this story in the book of Chronicles, you'll realize that Athaliah, the queen, after Ahaziah's death, Athaliah, the queen, took over the whole house of Judah, and she reigned as a queen for some time. Who was Athaliah the queen? A direct relation of Ahab and Jezebel. So that same Jezebel tyranny came upon Judah because it started with Jehoshaphat. See, the evil lasted so long. And Queen Athaliah, who was related to Jezebel and Ahab, almost killed every son of David and descendant on David. Only one little baby was saved, called Joash. And that evil came because of Jehoshaphat's compromise. It started from there. And we read that wonderful story of how Jehoiada the priest came and rescued that little baby, brought the little baby up, and at 7 years old, he restored Joash to the throne. And that's the story we read. And that began the third revival after Solomon. There are five revivals. Now, Joash was a good king. Wonderful king. What kind of revival did he have? He had only one type of revival. You notice that they repaired the temple, and they found a book in verse 6. The commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord. They restored the feast, etc. But the main revival that Joash experienced was a revival of ministries. Because in his days, the revival came because of the ministry of Jehoiada the priest and Huldah the prophetess and the other ministries that were there. Joash was only 7 years old, too young to rule. So Jehoiada the priest and all these were helping him govern the land. And a revival took place. It was only one primary type of revival. So you could see that in his days, the revival was not that strong. Not that strong. Not fourfold. It was only onefold. Ministry based. And mainly because of Jehoiada. But Joash faced the second hazard of a leader. He was a different kind of a leader. Joash was, sadly, he grew up, he was more like a rubber stamp leader. You see, one of the hazards of leadership is that your position becomes just constitutional and just a show. The real people who run the show are those in the committee. And you're there taking their orders. Say, yeah, what do you want? Yeah, okay, chop. But what else to do? Chop. No. Everything approved. You are the approver, right? The thing is that if anything goes wrong, you get the punishment. So there are other stronger people around you. And as a leader, instead of leading, You are allowing others to lead through you. Now, bear in mind that every leader needs to have committees and work with people. They need to be open to suggestion. They need to go by team spirit and teamwork. All these things we are not contradicting. They are important. But we are talking about hazard. Hazard means crossing that thin line between right and wrong, righteousness and failure. Why a hazard? A hazard is because it's something right to do, but done to the extreme, till it becomes meaningless. It is right to get the best ideas and be the leader to implement it and add on the best. But when that becomes an extreme, you become a rubber stamp leader. Chop, 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 chop. You see, Joash lacked backbone. He grew so dependent on Jehoiada. He became so dependent on taking instruction. He was not a real leader himself. He was taking instruction, taking instruction. When Jehoiada died, look what happened in chapter 24, verse 15. It says here, but Jehoiada grew old and was full of days, and he died. He was 130 years old when he died, and they buried him. Verse 17. After the death of Jehoiada, the leaders of Judah came and bowed down to the king, and the king listened to them. Oh, what a tremendous revival that could have come. But because Joash didn't grow up himself, he grew up physically, but his soul didn't grow up, his mind didn't grow up, his character didn't grow up. He didn't have his own identity and character as a leader developed enough. He could have developed and be like a Jehoiada himself. Sadly, he took the easy road of just being a rubber stamp. And when other stronger people came after Jehoiada died, he listened to them and he turned Israel back away from God. They began to allow wrong things, and the decline started from that wonderful revival that could have led to great things for Israel. Second hazard. Third hazard, and the third type of revival you find in Hezekiah's life. Hezekiah's life. And just before Hezekiah, there are two other kings mentioned, and both of them had one of the hazards, but it doesn't involve a revival, but we just list what the hazard is. That is in chapter 25 of 2 Chronicles. Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king. Now Amaziah was also one of the good kings, reasonably good at least. And when he started, he started quite well. You see, in chapter 25, in verse 5 and 6, as Amaziah was going out to fight a battle for Judah, in verse 6, he hired 100,000 mighty men of valor from Israel for 100 talents of silver. But a man of God came to him saying, O king, do not let the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel, not with any of the children of Benjamin. But if you go, be gone, be strong in battle. But God will make you fall before your enemy, for God has power to help and to overthrow. And verse 9, Amaziah said to the man of God, what shall I do about the 100 talents? Now Amaziah started out quite well. As he was going out to battle, you know, he hired these Israelites. Now remember, the Israelites in this story here, the northern kingdom represent the evil kingdom. And God was telling him, these people, 100,000 people you're hiring from Ephraim, they are all wicked people, idol worshippers, although they are champions, great fighters, veterans in war. But God is not with them. And the prophet came and said, Amaziah, O king, do not let these 100,000 people go with you.
Now that in battle strategy is the wrong thing to do. But in principle, in the Bible, it was the right thing. Because the most important consideration is God in the picture? Now that is the answer that is to be given to many Christian businessmen or Christians who almost make the mistake of Jehoshaphat. Fence-sitter, compromise. They begin to link darkness with light. And as you're walking halfway, the thunderbolt comes. And the thunderbolt warns you, and at least you're better than Jehoshaphat. You listen and you say, okay, I understand. God speaks and you say, okay. Your next question is, what about the amount of money I paid so much after here? Which was what Amaziah asked the man of God. What about my money? And this was the answer of the man of God and the answer to every person who walked halfway in a wrong path and found out that you're wrong, you already invested some money and all that, and you're wondering what God's going to do, how you're going to get back the money again, you've done the wrong thing, you realize you're wrong halfway or three-quarter way. And God spoke to you, what are you going to do? This is the same answer given to you as given to Amaziah. The man of God said in verse 9, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. In other words, the man of God said, well, consider it a loss. Write it off as a loss. Pick yourself up and continue from there. God will restore you if you turn back to God. In other words, it's better late than never. It's better to turn back to God at any point in your life than to say, I've gone too far, let me go finish it. You will be also finished. Kaput. No, it's never too late. Turn back to God at whichever point you are. What about the losses, the amount invested? God is able to give you back much more than that. Because you still have your life. And God will anoint you to prosper. But Amaziah had the third hazard. It's not a revival, but one of the hazards. And his hazard is, as far as he is concerned, he was a peacock. A peacock. You're the fence-sitter, the rubber stamper, you're the peacock. Why a peacock? Because he listened to the man of God and he left the 100,000 men out of the picture. He went into battle with God's help and he won. Oh, he came back with joy, with victory. But he did a few other things. He brought back all the idols which in the Old Testament they were forbidden. In verse 14. And verse 15, the anger of God was turned against him. And this time, God sent a prophet again in verse 16. Verse 15 and 16. He sent him a prophet and said, why have you sought the gods of the people who could not rescue their own people from your hand? And now the king has become a peacock. You know what a peacock leader is? Small, small achievement makes their heads grow very big. Every good leader will have success. But never let success get into your head. I mean, if you are a really good leader in whatever area, you would have success to some extent by now. But remember, every time you have a success, go home, kneel down, acknowledge God. Humble yourself. This is a hazard of only a leader. See, the common people, you know, if they do this and those not in leadership, it doesn't affect them that much. But a leader's success is bigger. Because they get all the credit of what other people did. And that's why you see sometimes the ministry coming up, they succeed. Oh, their head grows so big. Pride comes in. A little success here, a little success there. And we want to announce it all over. Publish it in the headlines. Beware. When Amaziah became a peacock, he didn't want to listen anymore to God. He told the man of God in verse 16. Look, his attitude has changed. all because he had success. Do you know if the devil cannot destroy you to failure, the devil will use success to destroy you. He doesn't give the success, but in your success, he gives you all the wrong thoughts that puff you up, that destroy you. And I've spoken to many Christians.